Amen. Hey guys, how y'all doing? Good? Yeah, good. Man, you got me all moved talking about Tom and going back a few years. Tom and I go back way back. So I got invited up to the school when he was still with Randy Clark doing all the, Tom was doing all the administrative stuff, pulling the trips together, doing all, he was doing more than three men. I don't know. Tom's my administrative hero. I told him never lay hands on me though and pray for me. Just do what you do. But we'd go up there and teach, and they brought all these. It was the first year of a school. Tom was overseeing the school. So these kids, he realized all these students were getting so much knowledge. They were learning a ton. There was so many speakers coming in there. But Tom had this vision. See, the thing Scott said about finances, when even though it's, you know, you're always stepping out in faith, and sometimes you're not breaking even and covering expenses. When he says breaking even, we're not talking about living in a mansion and getting a whole bunch of extra cash. We're talking about covering expenses. Yeah. And Tom, he said, we got to do something to where this becomes these guys' everyday life. And that's when the Power and Love vision came into Tom. So when we first started, he asked if I'd be a part of it. And I said, yeah, well, do you remember the whole first semester, I committed to come up every Thursday and would take students out into the community, and Todd would tag along, and nobody knew Todd. Todd was just, nobody knew Todd. Nobody knew me. And except for Randy, who asked, and Tom, and asked me to come and teach at the school. And so after a while, this vision of Power and Love birthed in Tom. So when you know it's the Lord and you have that seed and you know it's from the Lord, you're just convicted to follow through with it no matter what it looks like. So the first couple we scheduled, it was hilarious. Like, the body of Christ was so not wanting to go pray for anybody in the community, not being rude, and I'm not talking to you. People just wanted blessed, protected, provided for. Yeah. And people were gravitating to every message that benefited their life, and they were coming to God for the benefit of God. Because that, to people, sounds like that's what Christianity is. And we would schedule Power Love, and what, 20 people would register? And it was like, oh my goodness, nobody was like, they were like, we don't want to go to this thing because we ain't going out to pray for nobody. We just want somebody to give us a word, prophesy over us, pray for us, but we ain't going to pray for nobody. So Tom, he started inviting some well-known people, some people that everybody knew because they didn't know us, and still nobody registered. So finally we decided, let's just do them, because whoever registers, we're sowing that seed. We got to start somewhere. Now, Tom's going to get a little uncomfortable. Maybe, nah, he won't. He loves me. He won't get mad at me. I found out sometime in, he was using his personal savings account to pull off Power and Loves. Am I telling the truth? I got personal. I'm getting real personal. He was into $15,000 out of his bank account just to make them happen because he believed they were God. So as a speaker, when I found out, I was like, Tom, you're doing this behind the scenes and we don't even know. And he's like, well, it's the Lord. And this was, so Tom can attest to this. I'm not saying this for any, like, to applaud this. This is when you're convicted and you know something's the Lord. Since I found that out, have I ever taken an honorarium from Power and Love or City Quake? Have I ever? No. I haven't taken a penny of honorarium. The offering is to make sure they can keep happening. They're not to pay my bills. I'm here because I want to be. Have you ever reimbursed a plane ticket for me? When you sow into this thing, you're not making anybody rich. You're helping it happen. Because there's a vision in a man's heart that he wouldn't let die no matter what the financial side looked like. I get that. I don't talk this plain. They probably got it recorded. I've never got this personal. I'm here because I believe it's the Lord. I drove up here. I took a weekend. I could be in a church with 1,000 people. I get a lot of invites. I could be taking offerings up in honorariums. It's the last place my heart sits. My heart sits in stuff like this. Because about what I'm ready to preach like a madman here in a minute. No. because I understand why Jesus came, and I never did before. And a lot of us think he's here to bless us, but he's here to transform and empower us to follow him, not just need him, want him, sing to him, but to follow him. So I surrendered that thing a long time ago, and I told Tom, nope. So I received no financial benefit from CityQuake whatsoever, even when I have to fly. He just told me I'm flying to Seattle. I wasn't like, man, now I got to get a ticket to Seattle. No, people empower me. They just do it behind the scenes. I don't ask for it. They just make it happen. It's my honor to do that, what I'm doing, and be here with a man that I know and I watched since 2007. We're in 2023. Never let go of a vision that he knew was God, no matter what the financial side looked like. That wasn't so bad. I just want people to understand that it's not always about profit. It's about doing God's will. It's about being in the will of God. Amen. And you know, they had students in that school, and it was attended. They had all these speakers, and it was just fun. And yet Tom always had that vision to say, man, there's just got to be more than getting all this knowledge. And then the students would even say, well, why are we doing outreach every week? He said, because I don't want you to just know how to preach this stuff until it becomes your life, until it becomes your lifestyle. You really don't have it. So that's why I went up every Thursday. And we had a lot of memories, a lot of fun, and that's how we all got started. And here we are still together and having a good time. Okay, enough said on that. I'm glad you're here. I really am. I'm glad you're here. So Scott was talking a little bit about the testimonies, becoming your lifestyle, some of these people just being the best you. I want you to think about something. When Jesus came on the earth, there's so many scriptures. I'm just going to start throwing a few out at you, okay? Like 1 John chapter 2 says, if any man or woman says that he abides in him, in other words, lives in him, dwells in him, remains in him, he said, he ought to walk even as he walked. The person that says he abides in Jesus ought to walk even as he walks. Now, I grew up believing that there's no way that's possible, but I didn't know that was in my Bible. And nobody ever preached that that was in my Bible, any churches I went to growing up, because then we'd had to been accountable for what we were preaching, because how do you do a Bible study on that when everybody just believes, well, that was Jesus and this is us? Now, I'm not putting Jesus down. I'm bringing us up to where he's anointed us to be, where he's paid for us to be. People say, well, you shouldn't think more highly than you ought. We're not. We're not thinking more highly than you ought. We're thinking exactly what this book says, and we're believing it. Amen? So if Jesus believes my life is worth paying for, with his life, his blood, his body, his cross, and he wants to do that and then wants me to come through him to be forgiven by God of everything I've ever done, I'm saying yes. I'm saying, okay, forgive me. And now he wants to fill me with the same spirit that raised him from the dead. I'm not going to be bashful about that and soft pedal that and say, well, you know, really, like, I know we're just, and I know, but still he, and then we're... No, he put his spirit in me 27 years ago, and his spirit hasn't left me. He likes living in me. He's always wanted to be there, and I'm okay with that. I got some other scriptures for you. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1 says that we should walk in love as dear children, just as Jesus loved. Doesn't say somewhat like. See, this is stuff I started to realize. It doesn't say somewhat like, close to. It says walk in love just as he loved. Any man that says he abides in him ought to walk even as he will. You know what Jesus said? He said, if you believe in me, the things I do, you'll do. And I understand he said, and greater things, and we miss that sometimes because we're so busy going, and greater things, and we're not even understanding the first part. We just hear greater, and it has to be a rah-rah better. I mean, how do you do greater than what Jesus did? There's a whole bunch of us that can do it. I haven't totally understood that. I don't feel like I need to even preach on that and try to figure that out. I just know the things I do, you'll do if you believe. You know what we tend to think? We tend to think miracles. We tend to think the power of God. Rarely do we think the heart of God, the nature of God, the person of God. Rarely do we think his humility, his selflessness, his forgiveness, his mercy, his love. You know, they were hard on Jesus every day. Do you know they contested him every day? Do you know when they ask him a question in scripture, you never find one that was sincere? You can't find one question that was sincere. There was always a test, a trap, and a trick behind a question. That's every day. There's pressure on his life from the outside. Now, I don't believe Jesus lived pressured because he's amazing, and I think we need to learn from him. But I think if we get pressured, I think we respond to that a certain way. I think sometimes we think that if people don't appreciate us, that's hard to take. I think we feel like we're being used, mistreated, taken advantage of. I think the language we grew up with isn't the same as the motive that was in Jesus the whole time I see him on the earth. Now, this whole power and love thing or city quake thing or walking in love, this whole just love in action, it's never intended to be a ministry mindset, a pressure thing, oh, I got to do this. It's never been intended. See, because we don't want you just out there trying to minister to people. You have to see something, become something. At least I know this burns in my heart. I want you to become something. When you become something, you'll live that thing. If you go out and try to do this, but you don't become something, it could feel pressure, obligation. You'll still be self-conscious, self-centered. Somebody could be hard on you and you could internalize it and take it personal. Walk in love, how? Just as. Not somewhat like. Not close to. Just as Jesus loved. I want you to go to 1 Corinthians 13 with me, would you? Here's one as you turn into 1 Corinthians 13. Walk in the light as what? He's in the light. Walk in the light, what? Not somewhat like. I'm not being cynical with that phrase. Listen, if he says that in the word, he's serious. He knows what he wrote. He's telling you and me to walk in the light as he's in the light. Philippians chapter 2, have this same mind in you that was also... I'm not being redundant, and don't get mad at me for keep saying this. Not somewhat like the mind. I'm doing that for a reason. Sometimes we don't understand. We say, well, that was Jesus. And we make him something that we can't follow. We think that if I talk like this, I'm stealing away his deity or taking some kind of honor. These are all scriptures he wrote inspired by Holy Spirit. We're not taking anything from Jesus. We're stepping into what he paid for, what he desires, what he's intending, what he's up to. And he's not just here to meet our needs and answer our prayers and make sure our vats are full and our barns are full. He's here to transform us and empower us to live by the Spirit so we can be the lights of the world, so we can walk in the light as he's in the light. Now, I never saw anybody offended shining a light. I never saw anybody discouraged shining as a light. But we think those things are normal and common and that we're going to cross paths with those things, and we aren't even convicted sometimes when we're living in those things because of the story that brought us there. And now we have enough facts to justify why we're there, but yet we're not shining, so it can't be the truth to be there. If you're the light of the world, yeah, Jesus said, you're the light of the world. Well, I thought he's the light of the world. He is. But he said, you're the light of the world. Why? Because he's in you. Yay. And the Christ in you is the hope of. Come on, it's the mystery revealed. The Christ in you is the hope of the glory of God. Yeah? So what's the glory of God? Any manifestation of God. Any awareness, any realization, any made seen, made known attribute of God. Any realization of the person of God. Any manifestation of who God is the glory of God revealed. Sometimes we think it's smoke or thunder. He says man is his crowning creation and glory. The psalmist says, what is man that you're mind? What is up with this man that you're so mindful of him, that you would visit him, that you would give him dominion over the works of your hand? What is up with this man that you would make him your crowning creation and glory? So you got to go back to the beginning, to the relationship, to why man's here. Man's not here to be provided for by God. Man's here to live his life in and through him, to manifest him and reveal him through the person of Holy Spirit. There is no man that was ever born on the earth that doesn't have the destiny, the predestination to be found in God's image and to model him and manifest him by the power of Holy Spirit. This thing isn't in your hands. It's impossible to live what you're created for without the Holy Spirit. The Christian life is supernatural. It's impossible to live Matthew 5, 6, and 7. But yet he tells us to live it. The Christian life is impossible without God. But with God, all things are. So then who gets all the glory? So if you give up yourself and start to become love and grow in love and let the love of God change your mind, your heart, and your motives, then who's responsible for that change? Woo! And all of a sudden you start seeing a truth and you start embracing it and continuing it. And now you know it. And it makes you free. And then he who the Son sets free is. Who's responsible for that? The believer or the one that gives the grace, the power, the truth? Who gets the glory? The believer? Is there a super Christian on the planet or just people that actually believe? See, all glory goes to God, because I can't love you without this truth. I can't love you without his example. Without his example, I have too many ways to stumble. I have too many rights to hold on to. I have too many lines that you will cross, and I can't love you without this truth overtaking my life. Because you will stop me in my tracks no matter how serious I am. Because you will go too far, or that wasn't expected, that caught me off guard, well, I didn't think you'd ever do that. And all of a sudden, I can't get off of your weakness or what you did or what I thought you should have did or what I thought you shouldn't have did. And then my story justifies what doesn't look like him. But yet scripture says I'm still to shine as a light and walk in the light even as he's in the light. Here's another one. These scriptures just keep coming to me. It's not my fault. Talks about eternal life. Talks about standing before God someday in 1 John, the epistles of John. It says, any man that has this hope in him, that he's going to stand before God one day. It's good to see you again. You're always so bright. Yeah. Sorry, family reunion. Watch. Anyone that has this hope in him purifies himself even as he is pure. Now, I just gave you four or five even as, just as scriptures. Not somewhat like. Religion says that's not even possible because we've evaluated ourselves by ourselves and compared ourselves amongst ourselves. But I'm not following that. I'm following him. I'm not being rude right now. I'm not even following you. I'm following him. Anyone that has this hope truly believes this, not theologically positioned to have a head shake and fill the question in with the yes, but believes it, realizes that one day they're going to stand before him. One day they're going to look face to face and answer for the life they've been given and the life that they lived. One day they're going to be right in front of him. Any man that has this hope purifies himself even as he is pure. That's the evidence of faith. That's the evidence that you actually believe, where you don't take this lightly and all of a sudden, whatever. Well, you don't really, they pushed me too far. Yeah, farther than you believe. See, you can't push Jesus farther because he is love. We're growing into it. That's why we have to keep preaching and teaching and getting revved up and stirring the pot till we come to the knowledge of him and grow up into him, Ephesians 4, in all things. Oh, did you hear my voice? I'm so passionate about this. Till we grow up into the knowledge of him in all things, in him, to the full measure of the stature of Christ. You find me a limit in those scriptures. See, religion hates this kind of teaching because it wants to make him here and us here, but he sat us in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. He forgave us of everything we'll ever do. He doesn't look at me and see sin. He looks at me and sees redemption. He sees righteousness. He calls me holy and beloved. Oh, I found this all in the scriptures, and I believe it. And for 27 years, I believe it more now than I've ever believed it, and I've always believed it. Did you ever know him? And then you knew him more. In fact, you knew him so much more that you almost felt like you didn't know him, but you knew him, and then you know him more. And then you know him more. See, I didn't come to you with a theology. I didn't come to you with years of just theology. I am consumed with what I'm telling you because it's been my life for 27 years. And I'm more sure now than when I first met you guys. I'm more passionate now than before. Why? Because it's more real than it ever was. And time is short. And we don't have time to say, yeah, but, well, you know, but it's been a hard 6 months, brother. And I mean, you haven't been in my shoes and you really don't understand. And now I got just some other mentality taking me away from what my heart says I believe. And now I have a reason and a justification for not looking just as, even as. Are you all with me? Not just because I'm intention screaming. Are you all with me? Come on, he gave us life for this. It ain't about calming down. It's about getting revved up and understanding. Like he was mistreated. Guys, he was mistreated every day. I don't even think we consider that and think about that. Like he let men hit him so that he could redeem my life. He let men hit him and bruise him and beat him so he could reach me and justify my life. I am not going to calm down about that. I'm not turning that into an April Easter story. It's a relevant story. Every day of my life, I have access to him, and he wants to live in me, and he wants to love me. And when I see his love for me, I love him. And when I love him, that love overtakes me, and I have the best look at you I've ever had. That's why I drove to Connecticut. That's why I don't take an honorarium. It's not about that at all. It's about standing in front of people that I finally understand and recognize who they are, whether they know it or not. Yeah, that's why it's not hard to talk to people. That's why it's not hard to pray for people. That's why it's not hard to be selfless and unafraid. Why? Because you understand everybody has this value to him, whether they know it or not. Yeah? And everybody's worth the blood. And everybody's worth the time of day. It shouldn't be that hard. We shouldn't continue to just be self-conscious and have the fear of men ruling our lives. And what about me and how I'm going to feel and what they're going to think? See, all that can die through what we're preaching tonight. Yeah, because we're going to preach some more stuff. It just shouldn't be hard to be pumping gas and be friendly. Hey, man, how you doing? Sometimes until you just say, hey, man, how you doing? You don't have nothing. Sometimes it's just, hey, how you doing? Man, I hope you're having an amazing day. Sometimes it's just okay to say, hey, I don't know if you understand this, but Jesus really, really loves you. Now, that sounds lame to some people, but I've seen that knock the socks off of people almost literally. And you don't know their story. I've had countless people say, you don't know the timing of that. I just said, God, I don't know if you're out there. I don't know if you love me. Please, if you love me, let me know today. And 2 hours later, I'm saying, hey. You know Jesus really, really loves you. Come on. That's not simple. That's calculated. That's God hearing every heart cry. But wonder if he doesn't have people that are positioned to be selfless and follow him and love on others. Wonder if we stay in identity crisis, insecurity, make it all about us and our families and how we're doing and how we're not doing. And please help God. And where are you, God? Hello? Come on, that's where Christians can live their whole life if they're not careful. So you have to understand that nothing on that list has anything to do with the passion you see in me. The truth is why the passion's in me. The passion's not in me like this because everything's going cookie cutter perfect the way I've hoped and prayed and believed. When does that ever happen? And if that's your goal, you're already toppled. People that are just a Christian for their own sake aren't having fun. They're in anxiety. They're concerned about time, future. They have fear. If you're a Christian for you, you're not having a good time. You're very self-focused, and all your prayers have to do with the things you believe you need. And you're praying for something to go better instead of you to become more like him. It's called seek ye, not second. Seek ye what? What's the number one thing on our agenda? The kingdom of God. What's the kingdom of God? The expression of the king, the outraying of the king. The kingdom is the expression of the one that's ruling it. Wow. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, who God is and how God flows and what God's doing. You stay in touch with the kingdom of God, his righteousness, which is the way he views you through the blood, period.
Whoa, that'll take away guilt, condemnation, and shame if you'll believe it.
Seek ye what? The kingdom of God and his... Oh. And all these things shall be added unto you. Everything you need to walk out the kingdom. He actually says, why are you worrying about the things that the birds and flowers would never consider when you got way more value than them? He says, it's the world that's worrying about these things because they don't know me. You're supposed to know me. And not just know him, but know what he's up to. Now, I don't make any bones about this. Like, I don't keep this a secret. I've been concerned my whole Christian life that a majority of people that attend churches have no idea why they're saved. They actually got saved because they don't want to go to hell. They got saved because their marriage was in trouble. They got saved because they got laid off and it was a hard time. They got saved because they were just having anxiety fits. They got saved for something for their sake. Like, people struggle, their marriage is struggling, they're reading their Bible like never before. Their child slips off into drugs and they can't tell you the last time they really had a solid prayer life, and now every night they're crying out for their child. I know that seems okay, but the motive behind seeking God most of the time gets tricked into self-centeredness. And many, 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 many people that go to church are going after God for their sake, not his name. See, because if you were really believing, I'm not talking you, I'm talking big picture body of Christ. I don't know you. I'm not putting this on you. Just make sure the shoe doesn't fit. If it fits, kick it off. You're not supposed to wear this. It's not supposed to be a perfect fit. Don't say, oh my gosh, he's describing my life. Okay, up till now. Now kick that thing off. Don't. Yeah? Message after message after message. I've noticed this my whole Christian life. I noticed it before I was a Christian. Every message, it seems, that we hear in churches, it seems the majority of messages benefit us and serve us and give us hope of getting something from him instead of becoming something because of him. Most messages benefit us without ever challenging to transform us. So we're trying to put new wine into the same old way of thinking, same old motive, same old me. And that's why people live up and down, because the new wine only lasts for a season, the skin bursts and the wine leaks out. You can't put something new into something old. The something old, meaning your motive, your mentality, your view, has to become new. He's not just talking about being forgiven of your sins, new, being forgiven. You can be forgiven and not understand anything that I've talked about tonight. And you can believe you're forgiven through the blood of the cross, but you could still be self-centered. You could still be self-focused. You could be one wrongdoing away from being done wrong. You could wake up and just need love from your spouse. And if you don't feel like you're getting it, you got marital issues, instead of waking up to love your spouse like Christ does. You could pray a prayer to go to heaven and never take on the heart of God. You can lead in a church, you can serve in a ministry, you can go on a mission trip, and you can feed the poor. But you have animosity in your heart and judgments and bitterness and think it's justified because of the facts that surround your life. And never be convicted that none of those things are him. Are you guys all right? The last thing I need, the last thing I even seek, is a message that benefits me without transforming me, because the transformation is the full benefit. See, because once he gets the biggest problem of my life out of the way, and it's not the devil and it sure ain't you, the biggest problem in my life is me thinking for me when I'm created for his image and when I'm to seek first his kingdom and live for his glory, not my benefit.
Oh my goodness. That would right there just inspire me to forgive and show mercy and make peace. No, I ain't even trying to forgive you. We're so funny in the body of Christ. In a sad way, we're like, well, back off, Pastor. It was a hard thing I've been through. Be more sensitive. Sometimes these things take time. We're talking about unforgiveness, right? Sometimes these things take time. And I'm like, why do we have such a grid for what he never is? Because we were born into what he never is. But we're born again. So once we see we're forgiven of everything we've ever done, and we're actually clean, then we should be able to see to forgive everything anybody's ever done. But we say, well, I'm trying to forgive. Do you understand trying to forgive is unforgiveness? There's no somewhat forgive. You're not like almost there. I'm sorry. Am I falling apart? I get humored by some of this stuff. People, they talk so spiritual, they think because they mention God or scripture in prayer, they think they're praying, and sometimes it's just fear with words. Forgiveness is the kingdom of God on the earth. There was a servant that got forgiven of everything he owed the master. It's in Matthew 18. I found it. It's there. It's really clear. Jesus told the story because Peter's wondering, how many times do I forgive somebody? Like seven? He says, not seven, seven times 70. Now don't do the math.
And then on 491, cut off. It was like a lucrative example. He's making an example that there's never a time to not forgive. Because when you don't forgive, you've stereotyped the person, you've marked them for what they've done, not what they're created for. And if God ever lost the sight of your intended value, you won't be forgiven. Forgive them, Father, they. You see where it comes from? You see where mercy and forgiveness is coming from on God's end? He's looking at us and he knows we're blind and deceived and we have no idea what we were created for, that we were born into Adam and we must be born again. Unfortunately, we turn born again into a beneficial prayer I pray so when I die, I know I'm going to heaven. Instead of new life through Jesus Christ. Born again is new life through Jesus Christ. Old things pass. He's not just talking about the bad stuff we did, guys. Let's just know it's deeper than the sins we committed. Old things pass. Mentality, motives, reason for being, purpose of heart. It's called a new wineskin. It's not just forgiven, it's changed. Not conformed to the world, transformed, because it's thinking like it never thought before.
Oh, are you all with me?
Come on, this thing isn't just positional. It's real. And has fruit to it, because you know them by their, you don't know them by their yes, you don't know them by their agreement to the theology. See, we have allowed in the church today at large knowledge to puff us up. So we think knowledge is the end of it all, right? And it's actually, it's tragic because people that think they have a lot of knowledge sit back and listen for what they don't agree with. Do you understand that's all they did to Jesus for 3 years? You got the truth standing in front of men. He's not just preaching the truth. He is the truth. Couldn't have been any clearer, couldn't have been any more anointed, couldn't have had any more authority, couldn't have been any more convicting, and they crucified him for his words. Why? Because they weren't listening to hear, they were listening to contradict, they were only listening for what they didn't agree with. And that's why he kept saying, be careful how you hear. And he who has ears to hear, let him hear. You could be in church for 20 years and never have ears to hear. You can listen to preachers and never have ears to hear. You're just hearing for what you don't agree with. It fascinates me that the truth himself, the word made flesh, stands in front of men and they kill him for his words. That's how twisted fallen humanity is. That's how gross and wretched religion and pride is in the fallen nature of man. That he comes to his own knew him not. People say, yeah, but they were just blind and deceived in those days and da da da. No, it's happening nowadays. It's just people fighting over theological disagreement. And they take it to a heavy angle to where they're bickering, backbiting, slandering, angry, hateful. They justify it because they say, well, they're just attacking the devil and the person's being used by the devil. Friend, your war is never flesh and blood. Jesus hung there for all the Pharisees. Hello? Jesus hung there for all those guys that were in the back room with the 30 pieces of silver. And he said, forgive them. Except for that group of high-minded, haughty, overdressed, self-centered, self-focused, make me angry. No, he didn't say that. He said, forgive them, Father. They know not. Well, it looks like they knew. But Jesus is saying, if they really saw and they really knew, what's the Bible say? If the kings and the rulers of the earth knew what they were doing, they'd have never crucified the Son of God. So what he's saying is there's blindness, but not in him. He's the light of the world. We have a hard time wondering why he could love us the way he says he does. That's what people do. They struggle with the love of God. Why? Because they identify their value based on their own life, their memory, and their own actions. You don't weigh your value based on your created purpose, your destiny, and what you have been called to by God. He sees you worth the blood of Jesus Christ. He sees you worth his life. It pleased the Father to bruise the Son and cause his soul to grieve when he made him an offering for sin. Why? Because he could see the fruit of his day, the seed that sprung up, and he bears much fruit, right? That's us. So he could see that redemption. He could see many sons springing up. He could see the redemption of purpose and of life and of destiny. And it pleased the Father to bruise the Son. That's intense. And you think I'm going to be bashful about receiving the love of God? He doesn't love me for where I've been. He doesn't love me for what I've done. He loves me for who he created me to be. He loves me for destiny, for truth, for him in me. He knows what him in me looks like when I understand and am surrendered. And he said, that is so worth paying for. That sure beats false humility and, oh, well, you know, brother, we're just, stop it. Talking you down doesn't raise him up. He's already up. He says, come up hither. You don't need to talk us down to raise him up. He's already the Lord. It's false humility. It's us not receiving the finished work. But along with the finished work, it's the destiny and the purpose. That's why I turned you to 1 Corinthians 13, and I didn't forget. You might have gave up on me. But I know where I turned you. At the end of 12, you know what he says? He says, earnestly desire the best gifts. See, my heart, Tom knows this, my heart is passionate. I want you guys, I would love you to be loving action like you've never been loving action before and just go, but I don't want you to just go do the stuff. I want you to become what he paid for and let all your doing flow out of your being. You're his workmanship created in Christ, then for good works, which were predestined beforehand that you should walk in them. But what's before good works? His workmanship created in Christ. You've got to put on Christ. You've got to understand what you're putting on. It's not just power, authority, and anointing. See, we say we have the mind of Christ, and we say it almost in a loud way, like, we got the mind of Christ. Well, if you look in Philippians 2, what the mind of Christ was, it was humility and a servant heart. And even though he was equal with God, he didn't desire to be acknowledged for that, but instead made himself of no reputation. Be honest, we're looking for reputation from the time we can remember. Man, if we could get a bunch of these and none of these. He made himself of what? No reputation. Came as a servant to men, a bondservant, obedient to the point of death. When he describes that, you have to understand what he said right before he describes it. Have this same mind in you. What mind? Same mind, not somewhat like, the same mind. We want noticed. Pastors have a hard time having an open mic service because too many people want the mic. Just saying. Make yourself of no reputation. Become a servant. James and John's mother said, just make sure my boys sit right and left. He says, you don't even know what you're asking. And he goes in and talks about what a position of honor is. That it's the least of you. It's the servant of you all. What's he talking about? Following him. Somehow we got the idea that following him is miracles. Following him is humility and love. We say, your kingdom come, your will be done on as it is in. We jump on that one. And it's not that we're wrong, but we always use power. Good. No cancer in heaven, no cancer on the earth. Whatever be bound in heaven, be bound on the earth. So now we have faith to pray for cancer because your will be done on earth, no cancer in heaven, no cancer. Well, there's no animosity in heaven. There's no bickering, no backbiting, no discouragement, no pride, no self-centeredness, no unforgiveness, no anger. And we don't even think about who God is. We just think about what he does. Your will be done on, well, it's his will that the Christ in us would become the hope of his glory. Let me tell you what that means. It literally means this. The Christ in you, take it personal, is the hope of God being seen, known, and realized. The Christ in is the hope of God being seen and known and realized. The manifestation of God, the glory of God. I'll be doing training sessions this weekend. I do one tomorrow, I'll do one Saturday. We'll talk a whole lot about this kind of thing in the training session. It's what you're on the earth for. It's not ministry. It's your life lived in Christ. It's who you are in Christ. It's not ministry. Sometimes the word ministry even we just do something with ministry. Everybody's a ministry. My ministry. I got this name, Neck Ministries. The only reason I have it is because the IRS demanded me to have a name. My CPA said, like, Dan Moeller Ministries. I'm like, no, we're not doing that. He said, well, we need a name. I said, Neck Ministries. I got it, Neck Ministries. He said, okay, net, that's cool, cast the net. And I said, no, N-E-C-K. He said, what? I said, yeah, holding the body fast to the head. That's what's in my heart. That's what God told me a long time ago. I asked him if I'm a body part. You know how you're saying the hand and the foot and the eye? I said, am I a body part or is that just a sweet analogy that I understand? He said, nope, I'm raising you up to be a neck in the body of Christ. And I did what you'd have done. I said, a neck? And this reverence came over me, and it was like a holy thing. I was standing in my dining room, living room, right at the archway, and I was the only one home holding my Bible, and I said, I can still remember right where I was standing, facing the front door. I said, a neck? He said, yeah, to help hold the body fast to the head. And I just began to weep and cry, and something felt special and humbling about it. And then I think of the things he puts in my heart and what I see when I read the word. I see transformation. I see change. I see Jesus modeling a life that we're created for, showing us the way, making the way back to the Father, showing us what life looks like in the Father. He said, when you see me, you've already seen. And then he turns and says, follow me, and the things I do, you'll do. So who's our life supposed to reveal? Why? Let us make man in our... That's never changed. It's the only reason people are on the earth. You're not on the earth to find the right one and have a successful life and just enough kids and a good IRA. You're on the earth to be found in his image. It's scriptural. You behold as in a mirror the glory of the Lord. You're being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, even by the Spirit of the Lord. In Colossians 3:10, you're not gonna lie to one another. Why? Because you put off the old man and his deeds, and you put on the new man. Who's he? Renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him. Whew. Who's Jesus? Visible image of an invisible God. He said, follow me. Any man that says he abides in me ought to walk even as I walked. The things I do, you'll do in greater things because I go to the Father. When you see me, you see him. Follow me. Walk in love just as. Shine as a light and walk in the light as he's in the light. Come on, we don't need any more scripture. Woo! And somehow we've turned this into something that benefits me without transforming me. And all of a sudden, the same old attitude is legit and justified because of the facts around my life. No, at some point we have to realize we've been trained by a lie. We've been homeschooled in the wrong home. It's time to come out of darkness into the light. See, we think sin is just murder and adultery. Anything not of faith is sin. He who knows to do right and doesn't, to him it is sin. It's called a violated conscience. When you violate your conscience, you shipwreck faith. So you can have all this in your heart, but you can have other things motivating your life. And then you rock your conscience. Then you don't have confidence before God. Now you don't have intimacy with him. You sing in corporate worship at a distance. You pray when you're in trouble. Happens to people all the time. It's not evil. They're not hypocrites. They're just getting deceived and not surrendering to what it's really all about. Yeah? And you know, a lot of us weren't even taught this. We were just told, if you die tonight and don't know where you're going, pray this prayer. It was all about making heaven if you die. It wasn't about heaven coming back into you and redeeming and restoring your life, your purpose, and your destiny. Come on, we've heard a lot of messages that just serve us and never challenge to change us. You got to love Paul. Paul's amazing. Paul says, earnestly desire the best gifts. And right when he says that in verse 31 of Corinthians 12, I almost picture him pausing with his pen in the Holy Ghost. Because he's writing. These are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers, workers of miracles, do all have faith, gifts of healing, do all have tongues and interpret, meaning tongues and interpretation. We can all pray in tongues. He's talking about the gift tongues interpretation, which is on the level of prophecy, and he's talking about within a service setting. Yeah? I mean, it's amazing how the grace of God will work. I was a home group pastor for years, so I would go around to our home groups and stir them up and just sow into them, and I'd make my rounds, and when I'd go, we'd teach on gifts of the Spirit. So I'd talk about tongues and interpretation. Believe the Holy Spirit would actually manifest that gift in the home group, people that never even flowed in any of it. It's just amazing how when you teach on it, all of a sudden somebody would get overwhelmed, and they'd be like, feeling like they're welling up, and I'd say, what's going on? And so I feel this urge. I feel like I got to pray. And I say, well, go ahead and pray. And boom, it burst out in other tongues right in the living room. Blah, 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 blah. And I say, listen, that's amazing. But in a setting like this, when it dominates, overtakes an atmosphere, pulls everybody's attention, scripturally, it ought to be interpreted for the edification of all. I said, somebody, what are you hearing? As they were talking, were you hearing anything? Did your heart well up? Well, I'm just welled up and overwhelmed, and I'm not sure. Just start saying what you're hearing. And they didn't even have like a paragraph. They just start talking and blah. And then they're like, woo. It's just fun. How God would just do that in a living room. Words of knowledge, it would just happen. Gifts of the Spirit. Are we all prophets? Do we all walk in the office of prophet? Can we all prophesy? Yeah. Woo-hoo. Yeah. So the highest anointing on a prophet isn't to do a conference of 1,000 and give everybody a word. But that's why we go, because we want a word. And we all made a secret prayer to God that he'd call me out. I'm going to wear something noticeable. He's going to say, you with those big polka dots. I'm just saying, I've been around us. And we're going to the conference not to be empowered to prophesy. We're going to get a word from the Lord from the prophet. And that's why we put him on the platform. But the reason he should be on the platform is to train and equip the people for the work of the ministry so we can all walk with divine utterance in our life. So that we can be on the job and actually inspire somebody with divine utterance in a moment. You can be at the microwave and you didn't even think of anything. You weren't even praying in the moment. And Johnny's getting his food out and you say something that is pivotal and that could just change his life. And he says, how do you know that? Why did you say that? What made you say that? It just came on my heart. You don't even have words for him. Because it just happened in the Holy Ghost. Yeah? Oh, it's just fun stuff. I could tell you so many testimonies of those things and timing. We could just tell. I'm not being arrogant. I'm not being presumptuous of just saying things in a moment, one line, two lines, and then hearing and attaching a condition to it. And now they're in tears. They're crying out to God. They're praying. I remember sitting on airplanes many times. One lady said it was a huge flight, too. We were heading across to the West Coast. It was one of them big planes, 200 and some people on them big planes, right? I don't know how many. It's 200 and some. She's crying. Just talk to me, man. I can't read sign language. Okay, thanks. I thought it was 3 minutes over. 3 minutes over. But please don't tell me I'm 3 minutes over. 200 some people, the lady's crying. She says, 200 and however many. She knew the seats. She was like, knew the seats in the plane. 200 and whatever seats. And God sits me beside you. And I'm like, is that a good thing? She goes on to tell me what she means. Everything she cried and prayed in her house before she came to the airport, in duress, at wit's end, and crying out to God, I share with her sitting on the plane and seem to somehow know all that. And she's sitting there, I didn't know anything. I didn't go on the plane to minister. I'm just flying. I just sit down. Hey, how you doing? Hi, hey. And you just get an impression. Boom. One little phrase, a sentence. And then it grows. Just being kind, just showing yourself friendly. Now watch this. I'm not being smart and cynical, and I'm not being a put down when I say this. But if you're overloaded and you ain't got resolved conflicts in your life, you left your house with tension, you're concerned, you got issues, you're all worried about all this stuff, you're taking things personal and life's eating you up. You don't even see the lady, let alone have a word for her. And if all you're doing is trying to minister, that'll wear you out and you'll carry pressure in your life. And it won't be fun living Jesus. You'll think ministry is living Jesus, and there's two totally different things. I don't minister. I live Jesus. I don't even prepare for sermons. My buddy Josh said, what are you going to preach tonight? I know some people don't understand this. I never think about what I'm going to say. And you have to be able to tell that when I preach, because if I had all this rehearsed, I am a serious, gifted-minded person. If I already acted this out in the hotel room mirror, buddy, and now I come back in and hit replay button, somebody needs to give me a trophy. Come on. I'm on a journey with you. I don't even know what's ready to come out of my mouth half the time. And sometimes when it comes out, I don't even know where we're going. But I know it'll work out good because I ain't got nothing to prove and I don't need nothing. I'm just blessed to be alive and they give me a mic, so you manifest. That's why you never give the devil a microphone. See what happens when they give you a mic? You manifest.
You say what's on your mind.
Oh my. But earnestly desire the best gifts. In other words, I like to define the best gifts as this. Any one of them, of the 9 gifts that he lists in your Bible, any one of them that's necessary in the moment. I want to be ready in due season. I just want to be a leaf that never withers. I want to just continue in him and live by the Spirit. And I just want to be ready in season. Yeah? So the gift needed, I don't need... necessarily. Now the gift of prophecy goes hand in hand with miracles a lot, but if I need a gift of faith or working miracles, I don't necessarily need prophecy. I need to see, right? So I'm just in a position. I don't need discernment of spirits. There's certain times where I need a certain gift. I want to believe that that's all inclusive in the person of Holy Spirit and in my relationship with him. He's not limited because I believe he'll flow through me any way that he wants to. Why? Because he loves the world around me. Because he loves me. He has to love them. Yay, let's go for this, right? So I'm not thinking about ministry. Now we kickstart you guys off. You're thinking about loving on somebody. What we're saying is we want that love to come out of you becoming changed, growing in love, growing up into him and all things where you don't ever just let this become ministry. And I'm real forthright about it. Here's why. You just have to see why. I'm so convicted that the word of God is true. So we're gonna seek these gifts. And then Paul, it's like he stops with his pen and says, you know, that's awesome. I want them to earnestly desire the best gifts, but Let me show you a more excellent way. Let me show you a more excellent way than you wanting to be used by God. Because when he's saying earnestly desire the best gifts, isn't he saying you desire to be used by God? Is there anything wrong with that? No, but he's saying, let me show you a better way. It's more excellent. See, this got me. You got to understand why this is so dear to me. I grew up in church, quit going when I was 18 to 20. By 20, I was done for sure. He saved me at work when I was 33. I was lost. I would have told you I was a Christian because I had a church background. When I was 12, I went through a class and they baptized me because the denomination we went to, you got baptized when you were 12. It had nothing to do with a believer baptism. It was just I was in line. So I would have told you I was a Christian, but there was nothing Christ-like about me. But I had enough theology to actually maybe even convince you I was a Christian. Yeah? But I had no manifestation of Christ. He came into my work and saved me. The next morning, I'm laying in my bed. I'm sorry about this if you don't believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I woke up. I hardly went to sleep. I dozed off. I woke up overwhelmed with the presence of God, praying in tongues, 100 mile an hour and crying. Well, that was just emotionalism. Okay. So we've been emotional for 27 years. Yeah, exactly. You're very emotional. I am. Because it's life. It's real. It's God. So nobody can talk me out of that. Nobody said, say yabba dabba do backwards three times and you got it. I just woke up. Presence of God was on me. And I'm praying in tongues and I knew he loved me. It's a change in my life. There ain't no way to calm down. It's 27 years later. I have not even close to calm down. Because he loves me. And I'm laying in my bed and I'm crying and I said, I got to know you. I don't know you. I got to know you. And I found my Bible. It was in my underwear drawer. I don't know why. It took me a long time to find it. It was under my Fruit of the Looms. Why would you put your Bible under your underwear? I don't know. But that's where it was. I pulled it out. I rescued it from that place. It's never been there since. I guess I was just hiding it, so I didn't think I had one. I found it. I was so relieved when I found it. I'm looking in drawers. I'm like, I know I got a Bible. I found it. I was like, oh, grabbed it. I cracked it open, laid it against my chest on the headboard, had it against my chest, and I'm crying. I'm about ready to attempt to read the Bible, which I've never done on my own. And I'm asking God to reveal who he is to me and show me who you are. Now, I never realized that was so sincere, but I never realized as he'd reveal who he was to me, I would find me in him. Never had any idea that I was going to come face to face with my true identity in my search for him, because he never saw us apart. And he saw me from the beginning with a purpose.
Yay.
So you see what's wrong with me? See, I have to explain it. So you know I'm not out of my mind. I'm just maybe out of yours. There's a difference. You get it? Watch. Though I speak with tongues of men and of angels, but don't have love, I become a sounding brass and a clanging cymbal. Uh-oh. Watch this one. Gets deep. Intense. Watch. Pay attention. Though I have the gift of prophecy and understand how many mysteries? Uh-oh. Not some. All? He's going for it in the scripture. Oh, my goodness. The gift of prophecy and understanding all mysteries is a goal for most believers. That's the closest thing to Jesus we've ever seen. That's the keynote speaker at the World Conference, and he should lay hands on us and impart. Not some knowledge. All. It's on purpose, because he never wants you to become ministers. He wants you to become the expression of him. He doesn't ever want you to just minister your gift. He wants you to minister him. Knowledge of all mysteries. What's the next one? Faith to move how many mountains? Or all faith to move mountains? Or faith to move all mountains? So it's all faith, all mountains, all knowledge, all mystery. I don't hear a limit there. That sounds like an arrival point. That sounds like something we're all shooting for. Like if we're walking in the knowledge of all mysteries and every mountain that stands in front of us bows to the name of Jesus, we're walking in it. But he says this most amazing thing. But if you have not love, you got what? He doesn't say you have something. You have nothing. Wait a minute, I just have the gift of prophecy and I have the knowledge of all mysteries. And I have faith to move every mountain. How can you say I have nothing? Because you're not here to minister the gift. You're here to minister him. And he's love. And if those gifts don't come out of your life from the place of love, it will never end well. You won't live fulfilled. You'll find your identity through your gift. You'll ride a wave. If the gift ain't crackling and flowing in the moment, you'll have a downfall. And you'll live up and down. You'll have highs and lows in ministry. And I have a very hard time talking about this when I'm around ministers and people. They say, well, you know, you travel all the time. You know what it's like. They're talking about their downs and their... I have no idea what they mean. And it's very hard to engage in those conversations and not be heard proud or in denial. All I've known is for 27 years, the way he sees me hasn't changed. So if I make sure the way I see me doesn't change, we're good. The way I see him hasn't changed because he hasn't changed. If I keep that, we're good. If I continue in the faith, we're good. If I live by the Spirit, I won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. I found this stuff in my Bible. He actually told me to follow him. And whether you think it's possible or not, he does. And I'm going with him. Because I believe in the end, he's the one that's going to be right. That's why I'm 27 years in and I'm like this. I'm not jaded. I'm not hurt. I'm not done so wrong by churches and people and ministries. For 27 years, I woke up with this. Nobody owes me a thing. And I owe no man anything but to love. I'm alive for one reason. To walk in the light as he's in the light. And if I miss that, I'll miss why I'm here. And no wonder life will seem tough. If life feels like a grind, it's because you're living it outside of why you're here. You're here to love. You're here to manifest him. Not need from him. Become more like him. 1 Timothy 1:5 says, the goal of our instruction is love. The whole purpose of the commandment is love. If I miss love, I miss fulfilling the whole reason he came. He didn't come just to get me to heaven when the bell rings. He came to put his life back inside of me so I can live heaven now while I'm here. So I can walk in the light as he's in the light, come out from among them and be thee separate. That doesn't make me high-minded. That makes me a believer. That doesn't make me holier than thou. That makes me how he sees me. See, I never realized when I found him, I'd find me. So in closing, I'm telling you, there's nothing I preached that you can't live by the grace of God if you believe it. But you have to want to. You have to want to become love. You have to want to deny yourself and throw away all the things we receive through the fall of man, Adam, and separation from God, the mindsets, all that illegitimate stuff. Some preachers, I could get Jeremiah up here, we could get the music going, and I could do this Christian life, look what he paid, and it'll cost you everything. You've got to be ready to give everything. This will cost you everything, and make it like it's some big, heavy price. It's not a big, heavy price. The only thing he's asking you to give is what you were never created to be in the first place. Why is it so hard to give up the lie to obtain the truth? You were never made for you. You were made for his image. If you're going to follow me, right? Matthew 16, if any man's going to come after me, let him first what? Why is that first, denying yourself? You were never made for you. We turned it into a prayer to go to heaven, not a denial of self, crucified with Christ, buried in his death. Come on. That's why water baptism has slipped away in most churches. It's an annual event at best. If it's ever even talked about. Why? Because we're just trying to get people to heaven, not transformed and born again. See, water baptism is death, burial, and resurrection. You die in the likeness of his death, the death he died to sin once and for all. But even as he was raised by the glory of the Father, so you shall be raised in the newness of life. New wineskin, new wine. Sounds like a match from heaven. Yeah? We've been trying to put something new into something old, and it doesn't last. That's why we grow weary in well-doing. That's why people give up, backslide, and quit. I've been saying this for months. The only reason we backslide is because we never truly front-slid. Just slide across home. You never saw a man slide across home and then go back to second. He's home. He goes to the dugout and high-five, scored. The reason people backslide, they never slid home. They come in somewhat. They give something. Come on. Wonder if you just surrendered. Wonder if you gave it all and obtained him. Wonder if you've been alone with him and he's met you there and you've seen him and tasted and seen he's good. You think we're going to live by the Spirit and then desire to live by the flesh? I just wonder how much we've slid home. We see our need for him, but have we come home? We say we believe he loves us, but have we received his love? Have we put on Christ? Or have we sang to him and prayed to him and agreed with his theology? Or have we put him on? Are you all with me? I'm just inspiring you to go into this thing. Where it's not a ministry. City Quake is not a ministry you should be doing. It's a life we get to live. Because it's a life we've become. He goes on in this chapter. He says, love suffers long. It's kind. It doesn't envy. It doesn't puff itself up or parade around. It doesn't behave rudely. It's not provoked. It thinks no evil. It doesn't think for itself. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. Love never fails. I don't know about you, but if love doesn't seek its own and love never fails and takes no account of the wrong done to it, that's a dead giveaway that we're all busted up by a lot of things. And we got a lot of reasons for being whatever it is we are when it doesn't look like him. And the last thing I need is a valid story to justify not living him. The last thing I need to do is make what you did greater than what he did and put more faith in your actions than his. I'm done with that. I've been done with that for a long time. Or I wouldn't be okay and this confident and this passionate. Peter said, don't you think it's strange? Your brothers all over the world are going through the same things. About the time you feel sorry for yourself, it's the loneliest party you've ever been at. And the only people that attend are people that understand how you feel and feel sorry for you. And then they have no ability to help you. And you call that support. It is assuring you'll stay where you are. And the highest grace you receive is the fact that they care about your story. But how's that make you free? And how's that make you more like him? If I'm living that way, I will never have anything out there to give. Spirituality is not measured by how full your cup is. It's measured by the overflow of your life. And people get wet because you're splashing. If they're drinking out of your cup, you're going dry. Now, people have drank of me more than you know in my life. I had 10 to 12 phone calls a day when I was 9 months saved in the Lord. I've been pursued beyond what you know. I've gotten rid of numbers because it was crisis centers at my home, phones ringing, YouTube, people knocking on my door at all hours. And no one's ever drank from this cup. They're playing in my saucer at best because he's anointed my head and my cup runneth over. Why? I'm not doing ministry. I'm living Christ. And there's a difference.
Yay.
He ends this chapter and he says, so faith, hope, and love, and the greatest of these is what? Next chapter, he says, so pursue love and desire spiritual gifts. So he keeps the desire spiritual gifts alive. But the excellent way is first now. Pursue love and desire to be used by God. Don't desire to be used by God apart from becoming love. That'll become nothing in the end. Make sense? Yeah. Amen. Wait, how late am I? I got 5 minutes. Ooh. Now that's a little scary. Because I was hoping to do something, but oh, Jesus, help me. I'll ponder for 5 minutes and use my time and then see where grace is. Oh, Jesus. We got to do this. We can do this quick. You came to this conference. This isn't a, don't be ashamed of this. I'm curious. I don't even know if I've really ever asked this question, but it feels right in my heart. Who, is there anyone here you say, I'm here, I hear what you're saying, I'm excited, I want to go after this, that's why I'm here, because I want to grow, but who's here you've never even prayed for the sick? Like, you've never prayed for the sick in your life. Is there anybody you would say, I've never prayed for the sick? Don't be ashamed of that. There's a reason I'm sure I'm asking. Okay. Thank you, dear. Yeah, good. Boldness is coming. Hands are sneaking up. These kind of hands. It looks like we're in an auction. Okay. Here's what I wanted to do. Who in here would say, this gentleman, what was your name, sir, that you came up with a walker and were so bold and excited? What is it? Tim. And Scott was encouraging you. Can I just be personal and tell you what blessed me so much about this man? There's a lot of people that are Christians in a walker, but you can't find that joy, that excitement, that faith, and that forward progress because their own situation becomes them. And if they believe in healing, why haven't I been healed? And the questions cloud the heart. And man, I didn't see an ounce of that. You were like a hero to me. I was like, this guy, because you were genuine, you were sincere. And I'm like, you have a healthy perspective in the middle of whatever it is you're walking through, and you haven't let it change the truth one bit. And I commend you for that. What a lot of people say, well, watch. A lot of people say, how can I pray for the sick if I'm going through my own challenge or my own? No, that's exactly why you can pray for the sick, because here's what you're saying. I believe he's a healer because his word says he's a healer. I'm not letting my own situation dictate my ultimate faith. Faith comes from hearing and hearing by the word. He's a healer. I'm in position. I'm believing. I'm receiving grace. But to show you that I believe he's a healer, I'm praying for you. I'm not going to be sidelined until I see something change in me when he said, as you go, pray for the sick. Yeah? So some people don't pray for the sick because they're waiting for a healing to manifest in their own life. And they think if they pray for the sick when they're sick, it's hypocrisy. It's not hypocrisy. It's actually an expression of true faith because you're saying, I'm not letting my own condition dictate what I believe. What I believe comes through him, and I'm praying for the sick in the face of this because I'm a believer. Does that make sense? Okay. I can't do what I was going to do. It's going to take too long. But who would say that I'm in this conference and we're going to go out and pray for the sick all week, but it would be great if I'd be healed. I have something going on in my body right now. I got some pains. I got a herniated disc. I got bone on my knees. I got cancer. I got something going on in my own body. Who would say that you are in position to be healed? You have something going on in your body. That healing would be awesome. Can you stand to your feet? If it's easier to stay sitting, just stay sitting and go like this. But let me know that you want prayer. Stand to your feet if you need prayer. Is there anybody that can't stand and you want prayer that I'm missing out and it'd be easier? If it'd be easier, sir, to stay sitting and you want prayer, you can stay sitting. It's okay. We'll come to you. Now, here's what I want to do, because this is a conference. Put your hand up, one hand if you stood, so we don't lose you in the crowd. The people sitting, come on, this is a safe haven. This is an easy place, body of Christ. If you're sitting, you're my prayer team. Just go one-on-one. Don't pray yet. Just go get them one-on-one. Just go grab somebody, please. Just say, hey, I'm going to stand with you. Don't pray yet, because we're going to make this simple and sweet, because it's stuff we need to learn when we even go out there. Who's prayed for the sick out in the street and you noticed when you go to pray for them, they're not always head over heels excited. Sometimes they're a little self-conscious. Sometimes they're a little backwards, but they're willing to let you, but they're a little nervous. Who's noticed that ever, right? When you pray for the sick, don't pray 5-minute prayers. Don't cover all their generations and pray for all their lost loved ones and all that stuff. You're just there to bless them. When you pray for the sick, don't pray long, please. We get into works. We don't even realize it. We actually get out of faith sometimes when we pray because of the way we pray. Who's ever noticed when you pray for the sick that your focus can shift on what you're praying, how you're praying, what you're saying, and all you're doing is trying to pray right, good, powerful, and effective? Okay, I got good news for you. This is really good news. Your prayer never has, never will heal the sick, okay? It's his finished work, and it's your faith in him. So watch. Be whole in Jesus' name is probably plenty. Not, Father, I just thank you right now, and I come in the name of Jesus, and I just, oh, wow, wow, woo, ah, hee-haw. And you said, anything I ask, believe in. And now you're quoting all this scripture. Stop. Just pain you leave, body you be whole in Jesus' name. Who knows that you can pray, be sincere, and believe God loves the person and do it in 5 seconds or less? Who believes that's possible? Okay, so the person you're going to pray with, the person that's being prayed for, just tell your person. Does everybody have a person? Are you still waiting back there? Wave your hands if we don't have you assigned. Do we have anybody that can get to them? I don't want two on one. If we can get to everybody one-on-one, that would be amazing. Can somebody come up and stand with my sister Patty? Try to cover the room quick. Come on, if you're available, if you're sitting, let's do one-on-one, don't tag team. Let's try to get to everybody. You girls, could you pray for each other? Just take turns. It'll be awesome. Yeah, you can do that. Okay, just tell your person what they're believing for. Do you have them back there? Are you covering them? Okay, good. Thank you. Do we got everybody now? Are we covered? Oh, do I have one person left that can stand with this dear lady? Do I have anybody left? Can you? She's coming. They're coming. Oh, they're coming. They're coming. They were coming to tag team. Tell your person, give them a 3-5-second version of what you stood up for and what you need healed for from. Just tell them. Okay? You should have it. Everybody got it? Y'all know what you're believing for? Okay, give me your attention because we're going to move on because I preached long. Forgive me. That's on me. So now I'm going to rush you guys. Y'all, come on back. Come on back. You got what you're praying for? Okay. Don't want anybody praying yet. Hang on. We're going to do this together as a family. We're going to learn together. When you're out in the streets and even here, don't get self-conscious when you pray and don't try to pray hard, right, powerful, and anointed. Believing is what you want to do. Believing what? That God loves the person. He paid the price for healing through the cross of Jesus Christ, and he wants to heal. Believe he's a healer. Boom. Keep it simple. 5 seconds or less. I notice the longer people pray, the more self-conscious they get, and the more they can slip into works. When you think it's your prayer that heals somebody, come on, then we should all have prayer degrees from prayer college. Be whole in Jesus. The reason I had you ask what you're praying for, Matthew 17, you're going to say to the mountain, and it was talking about healing, epilepsy, and the boy. That's where the context came from. You're going to say to the mountain, move, and the mountain's going to what? So if they told you they're riddled with arthritis in their joints, arthritis you leave, every pain you go, in Jesus' name. There's authority in that when there's faith in that working through love. And you understand God loves the person and Jesus paid the price. Watch, we can all believe that without getting self-conscious and trying too hard. Yeah? There's 3 things I see when I pray for the sick. I wish there was one, but I see 3. I see people healed instantly. I see people somewhat change, and that's a no-brainer, especially on the streets. I've never had anybody on the streets, if they're excited and say, oh my gosh, I'm like 50% better. I'm like, really, for sure? No, I'm not kidding. Okay, no, I believe you. What would you say, 50%? Yeah, that's amazing. Listen, let's just pray again. I've never had anybody say no. If they know they're better and they're trying to convince me they're better, they welcome prayer. I've prayed for people as many as 12, 13 times standing there praying. Why? I'm not asking God to heal. I'm telling the thing to leave, to move, to go. I'm not asking God to heal. Arthritis, you leave. Arthritis, you break. Years and years ago, about 13 times, prayed for a lady. All her fingers were going in one direction. She couldn't even pick up a fork or a knife anymore from arthritis. We watched her hands change in front of our eyes probably 13 times. You just, arthritis, you will leave. You come out of her in Jesus' name. Arthritis, you go. And she was laughing. She said, you're really go-getters. You're really going after this. And we're like, and she was totally cool with it. So we just kept, we weren't saying, God, would you please heal? God, would you please heal? No, we're saying to the mountain, you move. Right? And we're all growing. Let's not just get theological heady, right? Well, we said it. Why didn't it? No, no, no. We're just growing. We're learning. We're sincere. We're stepping out. That arthritis is sitting there going, and we're just telling it to go. And I can't explain how that all happened, but it happened. Okay? So it's just fun, fun, fun. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to pray for your person. I'm only going to give you because I love you. And I'm making it real easy for you. I'm going to give you about 5 to 6 seconds to pray. That way nobody can get in trouble. Nobody can get self-conscious. You can't even get self-conscious in 5 to 6 seconds. Because you already heard the mountain, right? Herniated disc, you leave their body. Back, you behold, no more pain. Shoulder, you be completely healed. Cancer, you leave. Tumor, you go. Whatever. I was just in a service a little while ago. A girl had this skin stuff all over her. It left when the two young girls prayed for it. It just left. I don't know about you. That's just fun. Like 5 seconds just left. Sometimes we see visuals, so we see things change. We see things change somewhat, and sometimes we just don't see anything change. I found that's the number one reason Christians don't pray for the sick because they're afraid nothing will happen. It's not even their theological struggle. It's they're afraid nothing will happen and they don't want to be in that position. But the problem is if you don't pray for anybody for that reason, guess what you always have? Zero. The very thing you fear. So we have to step out and lay hands on the sick because that's what believers do. Mark 16. So here's the deal. Tonight, I don't want anybody to, I want you to cut your thoughts off as far as if something doesn't change right away. Don't do what we tend to do. Boy, see, now I'm uncomfortable. Now I'm not, you know, now I got to tell them it's the same. Now, then you hear a couple of testimonies. Wow, they're healed. Why ain't I healed? Something must be blocking. Blah, blah, blah. And we just take a deep breath tonight. Don't turn healing into a point in time. Don't turn it into a hit, miss, win or lose. Let healing be the position of your heart to believe what he paid for. And we're going to hold on tonight. We're going to thank God he's a healer. We're going to listen to a couple of testimonies in a minute. And then we're going to keep checking our bodies and you watch and see what happens in this room. It'll be like popcorn in a bag. Things will keep changing. No, because we're not going to let go and we're not going to back off. We're just going to believe. Are you all ready? So I'm going to give you 5 seconds to pray. The people that are being prayed for, I want you to do one thing tonight, please. Just believe this one thing. God has to love me or he'd have never sent his son. Ain't that sweet? That's pretty easy, isn't it? If he didn't love me, he'd have never sent his son. So he has to love me. That's all I want you doing. I don't want you going like this and say you're trying to receive. Just believe he loves you or he'd have never sent his son. Are you all ready? In about 5, 6 seconds, I'll stop you. Just wrap it up in the name of Jesus. I'm not going to pray over top of you. And then we're going to do a little survey. I don't want any exaggeration. Exaggeration's lying. I don't want you saying you don't have any pain because you don't want to discourage the person that prayed for you. None of us are discouraged in believing. We lay hands on the sick and the sick shall recover. If you're on the street and somebody doesn't change, don't let that be your worst nightmare. Release faith. Look at them sincerely and say, I'm so honored you let me step in and pray for you and believe for this. Listen, he said, if we pray for the sick, they shall recover. I'm so excited and expecting just change something to shift. You check your body and as that thing changes, you'll know exactly what's happening. You got to set the table for God to move. Don't release the kingdom and then in the lack of understanding, stop what you released. Let's keep it flowing. Okay? So let's never believe nothing is nothing. Let's believe something's always happening because we're believing. Make sense? Y'all ready? Go ahead. 5, 6 seconds. Pray for your person. Speak to the mountain. Give them the kingdom. Just be direct. That's awesome. Beautiful. Yeah. Okay, you can wrap that up. I gave you about 10, just being kind and courteous. Okay, start to wrap up that prayer in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Okay. Okay, everybody should be done praying. Now, I need the people that we prayed for. Not everybody you can check because you didn't have something you could actually, it was tangible, but a lot of people did. If it's tangible and you can check it without exaggeration, start to check your body. Some people just know when they're healed. Some people have to really check, convince yourself. I don't want exaggeration. Check your bodies. If you know you're healed and when you find out you're healed, let me know who you are. I need to see who you are. Check and make sure. Who's here in your body? You're saying, I know I'm healed. I know my body changed. Check them out. Anybody? Anybody? You know for sure? Okay. Okay, good. Anybody else? Your body changed. Check your bodies. Take your time. Not looking for numbers and results. I want people healed. I'm not under any pressure. I'm not like, why isn't anybody getting healed? There's things we have to learn about healing. We have to learn to never change our mind. We have to learn to keep believing and what it means to believe. Is your body changed? Yeah, good. So you got a couple people. Anybody else checking your bodies? Do you know you're changed? Who is? Oh, he's feeling improvement. Is something changing? Okay, good. Walk it out. You'll know. You can let us know in a minute. Anybody else? This is what I'm talking about. Take your time. You know you're healed? Yeah? Good. Oh, it's so good. He stood up too. I said, you can stay sitting. He said, nope, I'm getting up. That's awesome. Touch him, Jesus, more and more. Thank you, more and more. Keep checking your bodies. I got a few people saying they know their bodies are healed. Anybody else? Anybody else? Is she waving her hand? Are you knowing? Does she know she's healed? Oh, you're worshiping? Okay. I thought she was like, I was like, I think we got one right here. Anybody else? Let me see you quick. We'll take one, two testimonies. Who waved their hand and said they know they were healed? Let me see who you are quick. There's just a couple of you there saying, you know you're healed? Yeah? You crying? I like that. No, that's beautiful when people are standing there crying like that because it's their body. They know. Now, she just raised her hand. Share with me real quick. You all three right here healed? Yeah, go ahead, ma'am, in the back with the glasses on your head. Yeah, no, yep. Okay, what was wrong with it? Was it easy to tell it was a problem? For how long? Okay, and it's been easy to tell it was a problem. It's completely healed. It's just gone. Is that why you're weeping? Because of the reality that it's changed? You can tell it's changed? It's beautiful. No, thank you, Jesus. That's so good. Keep checking your bodies when these ladies are testifying. Who else? Who knows? Yeah. Same thing, but you know it's healed. Can you give me a little history? What would have been wrong before? Okay. So if you would have looked for a problem that was easy to find, could you have found? Oh, yeah. See, you got to understand. Oh, yeah. She's like, because it was her body, right? You can't find nothing? It's completely healed. Beautiful. Beautiful. Do you have no pain in a torn ACL? Because they say they don't even heal. They say our ACL won't even heal. Yeah, yeah, okay, partially tore. You have no pain, you can't find any problem in it. It feels good. Good. Amen. Beautiful. Guys, if we don't step out and start praying, we won't see anything. If we step out and don't see the results we're looking for and don't understand what faith is, we'll get discouraged and back off. Who here could say your body changed somewhat? It just didn't change all the way, so you didn't raise your hand, but it changed somewhat. Hold your hands high. Go like this so everybody can see you. You changed somewhat. You just didn't raise your hand yet because it's not 100%. See, there's movement, right? That's God moving. We just testified a couple people. What happened with you, dear? You still going through it? You ain't even ready to talk? Oh, bless you. You're so awesome. She said, I'm still going through it. I ain't ready to talk. The people that are somewhat healed, that's a no-brainer. Your person, I'm going to close because I'm way late, but get your person to pray before we leave just one more time. Here's the one I want to do for sure. Raise your hand if nothing changed. You seem exactly the same as the first time we prayed. Let me see your hands. Is your person still here? Because we're not giving you another person. Your person is plenty. You're not saying, I want the person that prayed over here for that lady. No. Your person is plenty. Person, know you're plenty. Do you see your person with their hand up, or do you have your person? Grab them again and put your hand down when they got you. Put your hand down when they got you. You got them? Who was with you, ma'am? Did they take off? Yeah. You going to stand with her? You want to come up? She can get a new person if her person left. Here's what I want you to do. I'm taking late. I know. I'm sorry. Watch this. This is my last group. You didn't see any change yet. Just pray. Now watch. This is important. Just pray the same prayer that you believe you prayed the first time. Don't get creative. Don't wave a colored flag. Just believe what you believed the first time and thank God he's doing it. Okay? Let's do that for 5 more seconds and let's see what happens. 5-6 seconds. Go ahead. In Jesus' name. That's beautiful, guys. We're about wrapped up here. We're going to be heading home soon. Go ahead. That's it. Just wrap that up in Jesus' name. Okay, that's good. That's good. Now I got like 10 people here we're praying for, 12. Listen, let's do this for sake of time. Check your bodies for me one more time. This is the group. Nothing changed up until now. Check your bodies. This is the group I'm talking to, is that last group. Anything change in my last group, that last group of people? Anything changed that time? Changed? Somewhat? Somewhat. How much percent? Okay, and nothing changed up until now. That was the first time you noticed change. Something changed? Somewhat? Okay, somewhat. Okay, somewhat. These are small percents, but something's changing. Watch what we're learning, guys. If we pray for them and nothing changed and we get discouraged, what did I do wrong? Where's my anointing? I wonder if they don't have faith. I wonder if they got unconfessed sin. And all of a sudden we get on this tangent of questions that subverts faith. Watch. We prayed, they're checking their bodies that whole time and nothing changed. We prayed one more time believing the same, and I'm getting all these people raising their hands now. I'm actually getting more response now than we had in the beginning. What do you think God's teaching us sovereignly tonight? He's saying, don't you ever change what you believe. That's what he's telling us. Who else raised their hand? Something changed in that last, yeah? No, but enough for you to say it's different. Oh, wow, good. So you got a lot of change. Good. You changed too? And nothing up until now? Who else? Look at all these people. You definitely changed? How much? Somewhat? So you're feeling liberty? You couldn't do that? And it didn't change until that last time we prayed. That's when it changed, that very last time. Guys, it's incredible, guys. I hope you're not missing this. So let's do this as an encouragement to everybody. If you were somewhat healed or all the way healed tonight, raise your hand all at the same time. Somewhat healed or all the way healed, just start going like this all at the same time. Raise your hand. Look around, guys. This is because a body of believers are stepping out saying, you know what? We're going to believe and not change our mind. Now, if you didn't change tonight and you leave in here, I don't want you saying, man, why are all them people waving their hands and not going, God, there has to be something wrong. Something got to be blocking my healing. Stop it. Go home. I didn't mean that in a mean way, but but stop it. Go home. Thank him for the person that stood with you and prayed. Thank him that he loves you. Thank him for the price he paid through Jesus, and thank him for what he's doing in your body. And go to bed thankful and watch what happens to that situation. Amen.